Excited about Christmas Day. Amen? I was asked to what I was going to preach on, and I thought, I get to preach the Christmas message today. What a blessing that is. Well, here I am. And as I talk to people this week, and I talk to people throughout my life, they say, you know what, I don't go to church because it's for perfect people. And I said, that's incorrect. And then as I started to think about the Christmas message, it's about an imperfect person, an imperfect people for the perfect God. So as I started looking at our Advent season and what we focus on as far as faith, hope, joy, peace, I started to put this scripture and this message together. We're going to look at faith. A faith that has joined us throughout the centuries, and in our faith we see an imperfect people. Genesis 12, 1 through 5, and you can even look somewhere in the good book, right? It talks about Abraham's faith. And in this faith, where it was started so long ago with a man being told to go out and journey and God would take care of him, it says in Genesis 12, 1 through 5, the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country, go from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, a land, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. Not other people's blessings, but God will bless them. And make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and those ones who curse you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took Sarai his wife, Lot his nephew, and their possessions which they had accumulated, and the persons which they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan. Abram, a man whose father made idols, was chosen by God to start that generation's faith. A faith that we cling to today. But Abram was not perfect, even after God had chosen him. I am thankful that God is not one that lets us go by the way when we're not perfect. Because even today, you sit here and you listen to me, I'm not a man that is perfect by any means. Abram, I speak this message and this Christmas encouragement to others that may be listening on the internet and for you here today, because they're not perfect. Abraham became, as you know, he became Abraham. Yet his life was not perfect. He was 75 years old. Can you imagine having to pick up your life at 75 years of age and go on? We think of wisdom and people that are older as being more wise. Yet, Abram wasn't always wise. He tried to supplant what God had promised, and he had another son outside of Sarah. But yet, in Hebrews, it talks about Abram's faith being a credit towards him. He wasn't perfect. He would lie to kings because he was fearful of what they could do to him. And yet, his faith was made perfect through the one that chose him to be told through the stories and throughout the generations. He wasn't perfect when he had to go make that sacrifice of his one and only son. That was a glimpse into what God would do for all of us through the one that we celebrate this season, in his son, Jesus. And yet Isaac, the one that would go up on that altar, he wasn't perfect either. But he had to carry the wood with Jacob up He had to be rest his body on that altar, but he wouldn't be sacrificed. The one that was perfect many years later, the one we celebrate at Christmas, was the perfect one. You see, Abraham wasn't perfect. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. But Christmas, because of his word and what he did, that's perfection. So faith like Abram, brings us to the point of this season. It's not a perfect faith because we're an imperfect person. But we hold on to the hope throughout the scriptures, if you will. Isaiah 9, 2 through 7. Let's look at that. That's a passage of scripture that we use during this Advent season. Some would say, that's a hard scripture to hold on to, but is it really? Whenever we cling to many of those sources of the scriptures for our hope in resurrection, for our hope in coming of Messiah, this one helps us get through even today. Isaiah 9, 2 through 7. And yes, we did read this for Advent as well. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You see, the world out there, I keep pointing this out week after week, it's dark. That light shines brighter in the darkness. People are able to see our hope whenever it's darker out there and it gets crazier out there because we cling to his words. The light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in the presence, as with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice with when they divide the spoil. And you shall break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors, as at the battle of Midian. That tells us we should expect that we're going to have things put on us. And yet we got to share the hope and let people see the way we act. Because when they see the way we act and we hold hope to what he has promised, they see a difference in us. For every Buddha, the booted warrior in the battle of tumult and cloak rolled in blood will be for burning, fuel for fire. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David over the kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness. For then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Wow! What a Christmas message that is! What a government that will be! I cannot wait. Can you wait? I don't want to wait. I want to share it with people. I want our government of Trumpism to go away, and I want Jesus to reign. That is the excitement that I have and the anticipation whenever we get excited about Christmas. And what we have coming is going to be much better than what we have today. You see, whenever you hold hope, people see that anticipation. They see that excitement. That's what rumbles through Christmas, if you are doing it the right way. It happens when you know it gets closer to the time. So as time gets harder, and we start to see, as Dr. Stokes says, you know, it's not the end times yet, but you start to see small little things here and there. Don't get weary, but hold fast to the hope, because that's our promise, that Jesus is coming even quicker. Because guess what? From yesterday to today, we're one day closer to Jesus' return. Amen? So we have faith. We have hope. We hold on to these scriptures with. Now what happens whenever Luke, turn over to Luke 2, where we were reading a portion of it today, and we read a portion just last week. Talks about the joy. Now, I want to pause here as you guys turn over there. Imagine that you are part of Israel and you have been adopted in. But you've been promised that a Messiah was going to come and that he would reign, and you're looking for the government, and yet he doesn't come in that way. He comes as a humble servant. You're going to possibly miss him. But because God had given you and granted you the mindset to know his Messiah, we can find joy in this passage of Scripture today. Luke 2, 1 through 7. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Cornelius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Now, was that a perfect time? In a perfect world for that census to be taken? I would have to say yes, it was actually. Did God use the kings of this world to get his point across? Yes, yes he did. Was it perfect for God's people? No. Let's think about this. Mary and Joseph, they were not married, but they were betrothed. Mary and Joseph were young, 14, 16 years of age, lived a long ways away. They didn't have a Mercedes-Benz. They didn't even have a Cobalt that I used to have. They had maybe a donkey to travel on. In the winter months, do you like traveling when it's cold? I don't. I want to make sure I have a jacket. But God used the imperfect people of the world to put in place a census that would take Mary and Joseph from Nazareth right to Bethlehem. Imperfection becoming perfection. At just the right time. Because he set it in place through the prophets. Wow. I tell you what. The people weren't perfect, but God's timing is always perfect. So the census takes place. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Because he was of the house and the family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. When you've been looking for something so long, you can find joy. But let's talk about this a little bit more. David was born in Bethlehem. Jesus is in the same line as David. Everybody that lives in Bethlehem must be family. Right? That's pretty simple. How many of you have big families? I have a huge family, if you ask. Oh, see? Do you know all your cousins? She doesn't know all her cousins. I don't know all my cousins. But yet, here Mary and Joseph, they're going into what's supposed to be a family lineage, living in Bethlehem. Even more so, let me share you a little story for you. My family's so big in Bakersfield, and I don't know them all. You might get a kick out of this. When I was 16, I was going out on a date, okay? And how many of you have walls in your house that have your family tree and different pictures of aunts and uncles and different things, right? You see that in grandma's houses sometimes, right? And so I go in, I meet the parents, I've never had a problem with that, and we're chatting, and I start looking down, I'm like, hey, that's great, can you tell me who these two people are right here? And they said, oh, that's our cousins. I said, oh, this must be a fun date, because we must be cousins somehow, and we're not going on a date, we're just going to go hang out, right? Yeah. So, Mary and Joseph going into a land that they're going to be related to most of the people in. But as they traveled, they needed a place to have a baby. And so they went to this house. Hey! Is there somewhere where we can go? My wife's about to have a baby. No one there. Is there any room over here? Do you have a garage? I need a garage. I need something for my wife. I'm your cousin. Hey! I know you haven't seen me in quite a while. Everybody's closing the doors. You see people out on the street today talking to themselves. Have you taken a moment? Bought them some In-N-Out. Take a moment. Open your doors. Open your hearts to those less fortunate during this season. Mary and Joseph kept looking, and finally somebody said, over there in a feeding trough in the manger area where we keep our animals, that's all I have to give you. By the way, hi cousin, right? They opened that up. The God of heaven, the one that deserved the best hospital and the richest kingdom and the lights, the camera, the action, everything, he came through Mary and Joseph, who weren't even fully married yet. You guys ever think about that? They weren't even supposed to be pregnant. And yet, he used that perfect time at that perfect place to come to a manger. Not a kingdom here on earth. Wow. That's what he did for us. Because I can tell you, I don't deserve what he's offered this Christmas through his son. But he's adopted me in. I'm not even part of Israel. But he said, Trevor, you're my family. He said, James, you're my family. Take care. Share the light. Be the light. Be the encouragement. You're not perfect, but I'm perfect, he says. Use these scriptures to glorify my name. If that wasn't enough that they couldn't find the best place to bring the baby into the world, the most humble of kings, Luke 2:8 through 20, we're going to read next. He sent forth the angels not to the kings. He sent them to the shepherds who are outcasts in this world. And in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over the flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. Wouldn't you be frightened if you had angels come before you and start talking to you and telling you about the Messiah? Or even telling me about anything, I think I would be frightened. But the angel said to them, I love this because it always happened this way. Even told Joseph, don't be afraid, right? Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Messiah the Lord, Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. He'll be wrapped in something that is meant for not even the least of us. But he's going to be wrapped in those cloths to stay warm. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." You see, when he is with us, there is peace. When we seek him, we will find that peace. When the angels had gone away from them into the heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." We should be like these shepherds, looking and going, "Hey, we need to go check it out. We need to go share. We need to go see what it is." The anticipation, the hope that they had just been proclaimed by the angels. Let us not wait. Let's go. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in a manger. And they had seen this, and they made known to the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. Wow. Let us tell you, Joseph, let us tell you, Mary, this is what the angels talked about. This is what they just told us. And they were singing glory to him in the highest, and peace on earth amongst men. Mary treasured these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Wow. Amazing. Amazing, I tell you. God works through these miracles. He works in the lowliest of men. He works through you. He works through me. And we have the ability to shed the light that the angels did so long ago, because he has adopted us in with his people. He has shared the light that is within us. It says in John 1, in this imperfect pastor, there is light to be shared. There is hope to be had. John 1:1, which I've been memorizing for some time now. In the beginning was the Word. That Word was always there. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing has come into being that has come into being. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. This darkened world, it cannot be consumed by darkness when there's light. And the darkness did not comprehend it. Goes on to talk about John. And then it says, there was a true light which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own, they didn't receive him. Going back, there was a true light which coming into the world enlightens every man. You have the ability to kindle that light, or you have the ability to put it on a lampstand and let it shine to everybody out there. But let it not be said that you are a perfect person. Let it not be said that this is a perfect church, but let it be said that it is a church that sheds the light for others and the hope to all mankind. And on this Christmas, I hope you find the peace that the shepherds found, and I hope you share and proclaim the love that Christ has for all of us. And in so doing, may we take our imperfect mortal bodies and be a light to the whole world and bring hope to all mankind as He wants us to do. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, I do thank You for bringing each and every one of us into Your fold, Lord, and adopting us in as Your people. And as we come alongside Israel, Lord, we ask You, let us burn brightly for You. And let us share Your love to others. And may we not look down, Lord, but look up to You and help others that need a helping hand along the way. And in so doing, Lord, during this season of Christmas where we look to Your Son, may we be reminded that You placed Him in a manger, Lord, one that is meant for feeding of animals, and yet You still feed us each and every day if we look to Your Scriptures. So help us to be those shepherds and to share that light and that hope to others, Lord. During this season, may we read Your Scriptures, take those moments, and know that the gifts that You have for us are in abundance to our what we even desire. So Lord, open our hearts and our eyes to Your ways and help us to open the eyes and hearts of others to the light that shines brightly through us, because You are within us and it is that we wish to proclaim. This I ask, Father, to You through Your Son and the Holy Spirit that lives within us. Amen. All right.